The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here. Survived Halloween.
Survived Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So you guys actually gave away more than 400 pieces of candy.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Woo. Most kids got two. Some kids got one.
But it was pouring rain. It was just the most miserable Halloween night.
I think
I can remember.
The neighborhood that, mm-hmm. you know, people are driving
it
in
has to be.
From other neighborhoods because it's like, this
Indiana.
Is a safe middle class neighborhood to take your kids trick or treating. So,
Serbia.
You know,
nothing
fair
wrong
enough.
With that. Nothing wrong with that. How about at your place, Professor Diane Manica from Education?
I'm in a condo, and to get to the condo, you have to come into the building.
Mm, okay.
So we never have any.
Never at all, no. Really? Wow, that's
we
wild.
We give out little bags if there are grandkids that
sure.
live there.
Sure, okay. Well, that's another way of doing things.
But I thought it was interesting. I don't know if anybody saw the paper this morning about the older senior citizen who went around and knocked on the doors over the last 2 weeks.
In the city, right?
In the city. To make sure that people were going to participate in giving out candy.
Oh, like it was like Aiken Street or something.
I'm Ashton. Yeah.
Ashton.
Yeah. Something.
But it was just, and they had 20 people in this block.
And they all had their lights on and pumpkins outside.
And pumpkins out with candy and stuff mm-hmm. in them. And he had nice. A handyman there with him giving out the candy.
Nice.
I thought that was really, he said, I want Halloween to be what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hire a student next year to give out candy. That's what my husband said I should do. He's like, guess hire one of your students
hire
next year.
Security guard.
Grad assistant. Oh, my God.
We can hang out and watch TV. And you know.
Unbelievable.
They're young.
Anyway, it's great to be here.
Thank you, Diane. Professor Dan Maggio of the First Corporation.
Hello.
How much did you give away last night?
I didn't.
Night?
I was curling.
Oh, you were curling?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. But it was like a Halloween curling.
There were people dressed up.
What were you dressed as?
I was not dressed as.
What, no more Uncle Fester this year for you?
No.
Aww.
That's only for special occasions.
Aww. I want to see you as Uncle Fester.
That would be pretty cool.
There's
yeah,
pictures
a couple
of
years ago.
Yeah.
Did you see? I took
got,
them all
yeah,
down.
I've got
Do you have any?
Somewhere.
Did your crew win or succeed? Or
when I was dressed as Uncle Fester?
No, when
no.
you were curling.
Last night.
Yesterday.
We won on Thursday, yes.
Nice.
It was the first game of the season.
Okay.
We just opened up on Monday.
Yeah.
I have a great niece who, when she was about 6 months old, she looked exactly like a miniature Uncle Fester.
Here we go.
That, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Good afternoon. From one saint to another.
Yeah, exactly. 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 How were things at your house last night, Jim?
Actually, very quiet. I can't believe. I mean, there are kids in the neighborhood, and they don't come around to the houses in our neighborhood. They go someplace else.
Yeah.
Can't figure it out because I live in a condo complex.
They don't
complex.
Come to my house.
They must because I live in a condo complex that, you know, the
you
houses
directly.
Are connected,
yeah,
most
yeah.
of them. So you
shopping.
Could get a lot of candy real quick, you know, going to door,
sure,
door
sure.
to door, but they don't do it.
That's so weird. Of course, we know Professor Dave Chow from the College for
the
Creative
Chow
Studies
man.
Was playing with his new iPhone instead of giving out a treat.
While also putting up the razor wire around my yard. Didn't
you already
I'm
know.
Just I got the moat dug in time, so.
The you electric
want,
fence.
You want candy from my place, you got to earn
you
it.
You got to work for it.
Darn right.
Our neck of the woods is not particularly well traveled. So, you
no,
know, my
not.
Parents live at the corner of Oxford, which is right by a fairly big local grade school. They got over 450 pieces of candy
wow.
given out. And they're only two blocks away from where I am.
Where
on a good night, I would only get 70. So it's just weird.
Our neighborhood is quieted.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No logic
it makes
to
no
it.
Sense. It makes no,
no
sense whatsoever.
Matt, how many kids do you have on your block? I mean, because I think we only have like...
Us?
Yeah. Yeah.
There used to be a couple across the street, and
yeah,
they're not
know,
there
exactly.
anymore. So.
And you have beautiful decorations up all.
We try to, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I can't
ghoulish
put a sound system
decorations.
Out. And can't put a laptop out in the rain, so
yet.
I had to dial back.
Yet?
Not yet. Yeah, not yet. I already had to, like, integrate plastic into the kids' costumes, you know, in some way, so
oh,
the
by
rain
the way,
would run
off. How are your kids' costumes?
I'll show you some pictures. They
okay,
worked out
excellent.
Really well.
I'm good. A bad mom. I didn't take any pictures.
Jeez.
Sacrilege.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't really vine them
it.
Going to the front door?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know.
Unbelievable.
How to find them.
That's okay.
I
That's
can
okay.
Instagram, but I didn't.
Professor Jason Roach is here from Communication Studies.
Mr. Famous.
The
he
most famous man on campus right
on
now.
On campus, on TV.
He's above the fold in the newspaper.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was quite cool.
Absolutely. Lots of press. How was the event?
The event was great. The premiere screening of my documentary Stealing Home about the old Tiger Stadium site. It was standing room only. People loved it.
Isn't that great?
Awesome.
I had friends who went to that.
Scalp tickets.
Cool. Said it was amazing.
Oh, good.
Oscar nomination in your future?
I don't know. Oscar from Sesame Street? Or
Best melodrama.
Awesome. Best supporting actor.
Did you get any like old of the Tigers folks come by and watch?
They didn't come. I interviewed some, but I didn't have anybody show up for the event. But
I was going to ask you, just because of his recent passing, if Gates Brown was a part of what you had done, because he's just always around. Was he in the movie?
He was not. I contacted him over the summer. It might have been last summer, but I contacted him during the filming process, told him about it, and I got the impression from the phone that he was not up for an interview.
Sure, so that's fine. All right, just wondering. Mm-hmm. Health issues, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was pretty rough.
There you go.
But you talked to Mitch Albom.
That was cool, too.
That is cool. Folks, we are continuing our longstanding, as at least as far old as a few weeks ago, tradition.
tradition.
Bringing guest panelists, we have Professor Stephanie Conant from biology with us here today.
Yay!
Long time since we've had someone from biology. Greg Grabowski used to come quite a bit, and he just got a lot busy when he became chair. So we're happy to have you here, Stephanie.
That works.
Yeah. Let's do this before I have to be chair. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a big deal. The thought hadn't crossed my mind, but now that it has, we are going to do 10 shows today.
Yeah.
Is that in your future shortly?
This is our marathon
I'm
show,
told
right?
weekly it is in my future. So. By Greg, I'm sure.
Yes. By Greg only.
He was like, when do you get tenure? Okay. I'm just saying. Just
hey, at least just he's waiting until then.
I've been on the other side of that conversation.
What's the T word?
I know.
Oh, my.
What?
Yes.
Ask me in a couple months.
You can do it without having tenure.
I don't want to do it. Well,
no sane person.
You don't want to do it with tenure either.
I mean, he makes it look glamorous, but.
Right.
I'll tell you what, folks. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Academic glamour. If you will. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Just wanted to give you all a quick update. Thank you so much for reading my Halloween questions. That was lightning quick. I guess I'll have to come up with some Thanksgiving questions soon, especially if the holiday theme is back in vogue, Laura Benson of Missoula, Montana. So that's very nice, Laura.
We better brush up on Thanksgiving then.
Oh, yeah, brush up on your Thanksgiving. Become a professor of Thanksgiving as quickly as
we know what she was doing after she gave out candy.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Nice.
Oh, yes. And, you know, we had just finished, actually, a group of questions from Michelle Horner on our last show, but she had actually sent just a couple of minutes after her last set of questions, which I can't help but notice that were sent at 10:31 p.m.
That's awesome.
Pretty freaky. I forgot to ask my bonus question with my last email, so here it is. If there were 5 extra hours in the day, what would each prof do with his or her time? Let's toss it out there and see what sort of replies we get.
5?
Wow.
If you had 5 extra hours in the day, what would you be doing?
Keep it clean, Beth. Keep it clean. Philosophically clean, that is.
Oh, of course.
Reading, nothing related to philosophy, sleeping, or watching television.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Everything was related
nothing
to philosophy.
Related.
And television.
From your perspective, you see everything through the lens of philosophy. Isn't that not correct?
Not Anne Rice novels.
Okay. No, that's true. Well, there's some philosophy in there.
Sort of.
Kind of junk philosophy, but yeah. Even a Big Mac's fun to eat every once in a while, right?
Actually, well, I don't know. I think Interview with a Vampire's got a lot of philosophy in it.
Yes, but that's also her worst book.
But it's still got philosophy in it.
Maybe that's why it's not her best.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Diane, 5 extra hours.
In good weather, I'd find a place to golf.
Yeah, that
in
sounds
about
right.
In bad weather,
right.
I'd find a good book to read.
Because mm-hmm. you could do a whole round in 5 hours, right?
Well, yeah, and a little bit more if you're
probably
lucky.
Okay.
Yeah, the windmill gets in the way, right?
Books,
yeah.
Cats, that's all.
Sure. Dan, curl. You'd just be curling
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, I think maybe you read a little. I'd do yoga once a day for sure.
Sure.
Maybe bike a little bit.
You'd hang out with me and
project.
Cook.
Home projects.
Home projects.
It's like, oh, that's right. Way too vague.
I have a list of unfinished home.
We all do.
The honey-do list. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, yes.
We bought a whiteboard for that.
I started
and then
that
made the list and then had to throw the whiteboard away because it wouldn't even erase off anymore.
Oh, that is
like, fix the crack in the driveway. 3 years later.
Tried. Buy new whiteboard was the last thing.
It should be the first thing.
Jim.
Well, let's see. I've got
Downton Abbey.
Not Downton Abbey,
but full season. Have you?
What?
Have you seen the new season?
No.
Okay, good.
But I found out what happened at the end of the last season 2 months early by looking at the wrong interview on Google. It's not good. Let's see. I've got a long list of things that are on my DVR that I need to watch that I haven't had a chance to, and I have a big table beside my bed, which is good because it's now got two stacks of books about 18 inches tall each that I'm trying
they're
to get caught up on. So that's what I would. Yes, sure, that's what I would. Sure. They're collecting a lot of dust at this point because they haven't been opened yet. But that's what I try to catch
through
up
about
on.
A quarter of a book in 5 hours a day.
Yeah,
absolutely. Dave, I'm guessing I already know the answer. Fooling around on iTunes.
Probably.
Okay,
probably. Probably. Far. There's about 3 or 4 programs that I should learn. There's actually a couple of digital sculpting programs I'd love to learn to do, but I've yet to spend the time doing it.
So. Impressive.
Digital sculpting, that's pretty cool.
Can you do like digital acrobatics and things like that?
You could animate it.
Hmm.
Oh.
Like right about now, 3D printing is there's some fun stuff to be done
there. You can
make
a gun. You can 3D printer.
You know, the program's already out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The shareware at this point, right? Unbelievable.
So
we'll not give out any URLs on this show.
I know nothing. I know nothing.
Professor Roach.
See nothing.
5 hours.
Five.
Sleep.
Ideally, some of those hours would be spent in sleep, but probably go to the gym more and maybe play some music.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sound so virtuous. That's disgusting.
What's the religion?
All right, I'd rub a few more banks in there.
All right, just to make Jim happy. Band?
Yeah, the ethics professor wants to hear some nasty stuff.
Well, I know,
here.
But if you tell me your favorite band, I'll have some idea.
I don't know, really. I'd have to go with U2, probably.
Okay. Starland Vocal Band or somebody like that?
Starland Vocal Band.
And they're one and only one hit.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what do you think?
I should do or what I would do?
Well, how about both?
Would.
Both?
Come on.
You could be chair.
I would.
You could be an ottoman.
I would like to convince my 16-month-old to sleep in his own bed.
Oh, right.
Probably go to the gym and maybe read a book. I don't. It's been a long time since I read a book. So.
Come on, man. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I probably would be making more Halloween props. I mean, that's
throughout the year,
all year round.
Simpsons marathon.
Christmas Eve, he'd be up late making Halloween props.
And dedicating to Mrs. Krabappel this weekend.
Sure, that's right. But when we think about that, we're going to have to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
It's
telling you how the pros handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it.
That's
George.
Right. Bang. That's
how
it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa,
isn't it? Or, well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Yeah, top chick.
Top chick. There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time, and the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
And we are back. Yes, Professor Conan had just mentioned that Marsha Wallace passed away, the voice of Mrs. Krabappel. I don't know whether she's going to die on the show or not. It's been so long, 24 years.
No, they usually just discreetly write them.
They write them right out, don't they? But who's going to be Bart's fourth grade teacher?
Oh, he doesn't need one.
He's going to go on to fifth
grade. How's he going to get into fourth grade?
So sad, so sad. No, with five extra hours.
They're going to double promote him, that's all.
I would spend the five extra hours probably at least for the first few months trying to figure out how to use five extra hours. I read a wonderful, just look it up online, essay written today. It's like time zones and daylight savings, split the country down the middle, you know, Eastern, Western, 1 hour difference. I think that we don't need an 1880s view of how to do time zones anymore. It's very convincing. Very convincing. And things where people were talking about having international business meetings, like madness. People in the States having to sleep during the day and be up at night because they were doing, you know, international business. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
If we split into two time zones, we'd still have to sleep during the day and be up at night to do business with Asia or Europe.
That is true. That is true. However, we were supposed to be the people to get everybody else to change, I believe, is the heart of the essay. So, yeah. Anywho,
I would be happy if they got rid of daylight savings time. It's really
kind of annoying.
Oh,
kind
of annoying. I love it. Are you kidding? Spring, I hate it.
April time of year. Is great.
I'm willing to put up with it in March because I like having that extra sunlight in the
summer. Well said.
Yeah. What sunlight?
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We actually have some questions for the show.
Oh dear.
I'm really sorry.
We already went to the
I'm
break really without our first question, but
I'm disappointed. We'll
Dear profs, it's been a short while since I submitted questions. I couldn't think of a topic to base the questions on. However, one evening, while listening to your show, I was inspired by Professor Oljar's quips about philosophy, so I decided to write the attached trivia about philosophy and philosophers. There are 10 questions. A passing score is 80%. Dan's about to chime in. That means 8 out of 10 is passing. Sincerely.
Even I can do that now.
Thank God I'm here.
Really. Thank God.
Alan Ira of Woodland Hills, California. So let's see what we can do with these bad boys here.
Please
no pun intended.
Know,
Socrates.
No
pressure, Socrates.
Question. Name the 17th century Dutch rationalist who argued there's no such thing as free will. He wrote, "In the mind, there is no absolute or free will."
I have a feeling they're counting Spinoza as
Spinoza
Dutch.
As Dutch, which he is not. He was just there, right?
Well, no, I think he was born there.
Okay, okay. We'll take it. First name is Baruch. That's an awesome name, by the way.
Baruch Spinoza. Awesome. I'm sure his family
like
emigrated
dessert.
From Spain.
What's the girl's name from... Oh, sorry.
Wow. Veruca.
Veruca.
Oh, Veruca Salt?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want Willy Wonka? Feast. I want a bean feast. define the term solipsism.
Solipsism.
Define both for extra credit.
Centered entirely upon oneself.
It's the view that I'm the only thing in the universe that exists.
I'm the only thing that counts.
I'm the only thing that counts.
Oh,
obviously.
Like,
no, I'm the only thing that like it's a bad thing.
Oh, man.
It's
so it's kind of like an NFL wide receiver.
It's not just egoism.
I was about to make a really
usage,
rude remark about the current generation of students.
It's
but
like I'm the only
just
Ayn Rand.
No. It's every driver in Detroit.
Yeah.
They're so solipsistic.
Oh, my goodness. You're crazy. People in Michigan are so nice.
Oh, you're from...
He just
compared
thinks
to New York,
in,
are you kidding me?
I know a couple of people
well,
that
people
don't
in,
recognize the existence of anything
in.
Other than themselves, too.
Comparatively speaking, they may be, but they have a significant tendency to drive as though they were the only person on the road who needed to get anywhere.
It's called being assertive.
Cutting across lanes of traffic, illegal turning on the right, assuming people will let you in because if they don't, you're going to hit them. I mean...
This is all relative.
That well,
which philosopher would say that?
Who's
about driving? Probably quite a few, actually.
Einstein.
Who wrote, "Sex without love is meaningless, but as far as meaningless experiences go, it's pretty damn good"?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
That's what I was going to say.
Woody Allen. I figured it's got to be.
Okay. Why were we thinking of the same?
I don't know because you and I probably have one spinal column.
I was thinking Sartre. So.
You know, our writer in, Alan Ira, our listener, is supplying all of the primary references for all these questions.
Whoa,
by
good.
Way of URL. So.
Which movie was that from?
Must have had senior stuff.
Actually, it's from brainyquote.com.
Oh,
Absolutely. Name the philosopher who was Bertrand Russell's godfather.
So it would have been early 19th.
It wasn't Alfred North Whitehead.
Century.
They were contemporary.
Not Whitehead. This is from philosophybasics.com, by the way. Free
this
plug.
This is the basics.
I don't know, William James.
No pressure.
Oh, no
this
pressure.
Is the basics.
No, Russell's godfather. Well, I'm thinking it would have been a Brit.
JSM.
John Corleone.
John Stuart Mill.
John Stuart Mill.
Oh, really?
My hero.
Late in life.
Stuart Mill.
Name the 20th century philosopher who did not like to receive presents.
It actually could be Dave Kokel.
This individual also believed corporations should not donate money to academics.
Ooh. Oh.
Are they counting Milton Friedman as a philosopher?
No.
Well,
no,
we've already got Woody Allen on the list.
I was going to go Paul Ryan.
Von Hayek?
No. It's famous, famous author. S.
Oh, Ayn Rand.
Yes. Do you know why she didn't like to get presents?
God only knows. She was a strange woman.
Bad return policies?
With horrible philosophy.
She probably, because like Dr. Kokel, she thinks that receiving a gift puts you in debt.
Oh, it's interesting. It's not what it says here, but I think I know what you're saying about Dave. That's for another show.
Now, we've already talked about solipsism, so her philosophy is coming pretty close. Yeah.
She didn't like to receive gifts because she had great disdain for any form of altruism, is what it says here.
Yep, she did.
So, there you go.
Enlightened selfishness. Or unenlightened selfishness, depending on your point of view.
Who wrote this quote? Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of the heartless world, just as it is the spirit of a spiritless situation.
Sounds kind of Marxist.
It's Marx. It's not, okay. Oh. Absolutely. Critique.
Just before the opiate of the masses.
Right.
Oh, Groucho, right?
Yep. It says it was from Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of the Right. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Look on Beth's face.
I'm not sure Hegel would recognize it, but so.
It says Marx is quoted as saying or writing, "The criticism of religion is therefore in embryo, the criticism of that veil of tears of which religion is the halo." Marx underscore opium underscore people.
Wow.
Religion is the opiate of the masses.
Okay. Blinds you to class.
Sure. Sure. Who wrote, "True wisdom is knowing what you don't know"?
Socrates.
That's not what it says here.
Plato. Yogi Berra.
Not Plato.
Aristotle. Oh.
No. Eastern philosopher.
Oh.
Confucius.
Said it was Confucius here. Perhaps it was who said, and maybe that's a better way to put it. Instead of who wrote. Is that better?
How about who said?
Well, Socrates didn't write anything.
So. Oh, well, I don't think Confucius. Well, maybe Confucius did. Yeah.
We only have Plato's interpretation of what Socrates said.
Yes, that is true.
We have knowledge of him from other sources, but Plato's is the most accurate.
Okay. Thomas Hobbes describes the state of mankind as nasty, brutish,
solitary,
and short.
Poor, nasty, brutish, and short.
Name the full title of the book in which this quote appears.
Leviathan.
Or The Matter, Form, and Power of a Commonwealth, Ecclesiastical and Civil.
Yeah, I just never call it that.
Yeah, Leviathan is cool.
Leviathan is how it's usually referred to.
I think that was my candidate statement.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Name the philosopher who died in 1776. Same name as a famous UDM philosopher. Yes, David Hume was his name. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I think that the URLs for the reference sites are hilarious. That one is from history.com/thisdayinhistory/DavidHumeIsDead. All we have was the year, though. Not the day. Which political philosopher authored this book? The Origins of Totalitarianism.
Hannah Arendt.
Arendt, that's right. Arendt is definitely the person who did it. Very well done. Every single one of them correct. So I'm afraid you get 0 points. All right, so we have another set of questions here from Rachel Ralston. Fantastic. Here's a new slew of questions. I hope the panel will take to them and get this with my arbitrary 80% passing grade. P.S. You make listening to WHO radio in Des Moines, Iowa fun on a Sunday morning, despite their online radio guide listing you fine folks as stump the profs. You can stump us if you want to, but asking may or may not get you, you know, to the stump. That's pretty funny. On a baseball scorecard, how would one designate a pitcher to shortstop to first baseman double play?
Pitcher
to shortstop.
Shortstop, first baseman.
1-6-3.
It's a 1-6-3 double play.
Who's two then?
Absolutely.
Catcher.
Two is the catcher, yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I think two is the catcher, right?
Three is first base, four is second, third base is five.
I don't know third base. Yes, exactly. Who are the four main members of the rock group U2, which we now understand is Professor Roach's favorite music?
I can easily get three
Bono
out of these.
Bono, Adam Clayton,
Adam
Clayton. The,
Edge, and
Larry
Mullen.
Mullen.
Yeah.
Mullen.
The other guy.
The other guy.
Pavarotti,
other guy.
Domingo.
The third guy.
It's you, Larry Mullen Jr. In what country was the infamous politician Boss Tweed actually captured?
Wasn't he captured in the States?
No.
Cuba.
It says here.
Uruguay.
It wasn't Cuba. It was not
Canada.
No.
Boss Tweed.
It's a European
country. I remember
country.
The caricatures.
Same European country in which St. Ignatius lived.
Spain.
Spain, yes, absolutely. So he must have fled, I'm guessing.
Well,
maybe he was on vacation or
sure.
something. I don't know.
It's beautiful that time of year.
What South American country has the Atacama Desert?
Argentina.
It's Chile. Oh.
Okay,
Professor Chow. International traveler.
Hello, no. And Professor Conan.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Sorry. He said it first. That's
oh,
fine.
He's
just louder.
I didn't
than
know
me.
It was a race.
I'll be louder.
It is a race.
Oh,
I'm charting
that,
right? All of the points.
Actually, my goddaughter's
he's the handicapper.
I'm just thinking it's that time of year where if we ever want to buy a nice piece of fruit, it pretty much comes from Chile all the time,
right.
Like the bananas and everything. Frank Watherman was the, was the last person to leave this famous place. What place is it?
Wathernam?
Wathernam.
Okay, I'm guessing Pompeii is probably not the right answer.
Frank! The volcano's going, Frank.
Mount St. Helens.
It's an American place where there would have been, in fairly recent history, the last person to leave it. People go there now as a tourist thing, but I think he left because he may have been an inmate.
Oh, Alcatraz.
Absolutely. I was thinking like some famous hotel.
I've been in one as a tourist.
Well, that was a famous
but I wasn't
hotel of a sort.
It was a hotel of sorts.
Yeah, the room service was a little brutal. I don't know if I want an extra towel.
Oh my god.
The turndown is a little rough.
Okay. What is Dennis the Menace's, the cartoon character's last name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell is correct. Mm-hmm. We missed you, Jim. You've got all the trivia.
Just the wrong kind of information.
Wait till the Christmas carols come in for you. That's all.
A nationality is mentioned in the song "The 12 Days of Christmas."
There you go.
Jim is a Christmas
French hand.
It is French.
Nice. Very good.
French. Hands.
And there are how many of them?
Four.
Four.
Four French.
Four calling birds. Three French.
Three
hands.
French.
Two
French.
French.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Dan, now you got to do the math and figure out how many throughout the entire song.
Oh, my gosh.
Every year they publish in the paper what it would cost to get all of those things.
It's getting more expensive.
They have a little bit of difficulty pricing out the Lords of Leaping and Ladies Dancing. Depends on what kind of dance you're paying for.
The number or the cost, though.
Is that when you write it like 12 exclamation point? Am I remembering?
Factorial.
That's factorial.
The factorial.
That's cool.
Wow. Never mind.
But
it's
it
a great idea.
12 times 11 over 2. 66 altogether, right?
Oh,
no, okay. No. The first few verses don't have three French hens, right? No,
you have to add up all of them all together.
The whole song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, the question, the one trivia question is, if you sing the whole song, how many are there altogether?
Oh,
yeah.
How many entities? Yeah. Does it depend if you sing like the Muppet version?
Okay, we're going to have to do some research on that, but first we're going to have to say goodbye, Professor Conant.
Goodbye. This was fun.
That's
thanks.
It. Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Manica.
Bye-bye.
Professor Oljar.
I'm off to buy pear trees.
And now, these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile. Thank you.